Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today's show, we're talking about tainting. This is so important because the Bright Line test is about to be rolled back. And you might think, this is awesome. I'm not going to have to pay tax when I buy and sell properties as much as I would in the past. There's still some rules, but way more relaxed. But with this rule being loosened, some property investors will get caught out because they are tainted. Now, Andrew, what is tainting?
So in New Zealand, we've got an intention-based tax system. So what that means is if the IRD thinks or can prove or can show that you bought a property and had the intention to profit through capital gains, then when you sell it, you're going to pay tax on your capital gains. And it doesn't have to be the dominant intention. There just has to be a firm purpose or intention to sell. And there's no time limit on this. So the intention is measured at the time you acquire the land or the property.
And what's really important here is the IRD is looking for a firm commitment for you to sell. So if you go to the bank and you say, I'm going to buy this investment property and my plan is to sell it in 5 years or 10 years and pay the mortgage back and make some money off it. And if somebody writes that into their diary note, the bank puts that into their system and the IRD comes along a couple of years later, sees that, oh, well, they know your intention was to sell that property because you had a firm commitment or the firm intention to sell that property and make some money off it.
And so when you think about how's the IRD going to prove your intention, obviously they can dig deep on data from the banks or they can probably subpoena your emails and your text messages as well. But the more basic way is they do this through the Bright Line. So how long you've held a property, and that will be reduced to 2 years pretty soon. The second way is through tainting. And this is the type of work that you do if you're a person who regularly makes money out of property. So if you're a property dealer, a flipper or a trader, if you're a developer or you're a builder, the IRD has a very tight set of rules for you. Now, in the past, if you sold a property within 10 years of owning it, you would pay tax on your capital gains if you fell into one of those categories, if you're tainted. So for everyone else, it's been 2 years. For you, it's 10 years.
Yeah, so you've got to hold on to properties for a lot longer. And I know that you've actually recently been working with a property flipper who is tainted. What's the story there?
Yeah, so this investor gave me a call because she's been making really, really good money off flipping houses in her local market and certainly rode the boom there and has produced some really good income figures. But that's great for income generation. It's not great for wealth creation. So she said, now I've got to start putting money aside and building my wealth for the long term. But because she's tainted, she's realized, hey, I've got to hold this property for 10 years, maybe longer. I don't know if I can commit to that right now with some other things going on in her life. So she's decided not to invest.
Yeah, so the key thing there, 10 years from first purchasing it. So just quite different rules. And you might think, well, why do we have these tainting rules? And National actually brought them in back in 2009, even before the Bright Line test was introduced.
It's funny because I think people think that Labor are the ones that bring in all these harsh policies for landlords. National abolished depreciation on property. They
introduced the Bright Line test. They introduced tainting.
Yeah.
And so why did they bring it in? Well, they were trying to target speculators, so people who buy and sell properties quickly. So if you're already involved in property, if you're already flipping properties and making money from buying a property, doing it up, selling it, making some money, that's why they've got those tighter rules. Now, tainting hasn't mattered so much. You haven't heard as much about it for property investors when the Bright Line test was 10 years because it was 10 years for everyone. But now that the Bright Line test is going back to 2 years for most people, that's why tainting becomes a bit more of a thing. And why do we have different rules for builders, developers, flippers?
Well, because previously there was kind of a bit of a loophole. So you could have your company that flips properties, but then you could also have a separate trust which owns your other investment properties which you intend to hold for the long term. And the IRD saw this as a bit of a loophole and so put a tougher rule in place for flippers and developers and said, you're completely tainted. You can't structure your way out of it.
And where people get caught out is it doesn't just impact the builder or the flipper. It also impacts your immediate family because What the IRD doesn't want you to do is, let's say Andrew and I are now in a relationship.
Here we go.
And so he's...
You're going to come at me with for a relationship property and get some affidavits from listeners of the show. No, he's been saying they've been in a relationship for years.
So what they don't want to happen is Andrew's out there, he's flipping properties, we're in a relationship, and we put all of the long-term holds under my name, for instance. So where tainting comes in is if you're a developer, you're spouse or your partner, they're tainted as well. Your siblings, according to the IRD, are tainted too. Your children, if they are under 20, including stepkids and adopted kids, they're all tainted. So all of the properties that they also own, they'll need to hold for 10 years or longer before they can sell it and not have to pay tax on that. But what's interesting is I was reading that on the IRD website about even siblings being tainted and needing to hold properties. So, Andrew, let's think about like a well-known developer like Mike Greer. So does that mean that he's tainted and so are his wife and kids?
Yeah, it would, absolutely, especially a big name like that. You couldn't all of a sudden have Mike's wife have a bunch of properties that wouldn't be subject to the tainting rules purely because, again, builders got a bit cute back in the old days where they'd be doing their trading and then they'd put a property under their wife's name and then they'd renovate it and flick it on and not pay tax on that. So the IRD wants to avoid all of that. And the onus is on you to prove that that wasn't the case if your brother, for example, starts doing some long-term holds.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because I'm thinking about developing some properties. And then I was thinking, well, wait a second. My brother lives in Taranaki. And, you know, maybe they might decide to go ahead and buy an investment property. And then I thought, well, wait a second. If I go and start developing properties, or let's say I wanted to start flipping properties, technically he'd be tainted.
Yeah, I think what you'd have in that case is you just have to have a really clear division of finances. So what you wouldn't want to have happen is that you lend him some money and go in on a project that he trades and sells in 5 years, say, and is outside of the bright line. If there was any exchange of money, that would be, I would say, considered tainted.
Okay. Because, you know, if you just look at the rules on the IRD's website, it would appear that Sam, in that case, would be tainted. But there'd be a whole heap of property investors out there who wouldn't even realise that these rules exist. Now, we did talk to the IRD before we hit record on this episode. I must admit, they weren't very helpful. So we asked them if people are actively monitored to see if they're paying tax on their property transactions. They basically said, well, it's up to a dealer or a developer or a builder to know that they have to pay tax on their property transactions. So I'd probably say all up, very important to talk to your property accountant. And if you're looking for someone good, you might like to try us out at Opus Accounting. Now, Andrew, where else do people get caught out with tainting?
So if you're a builder and you buy a property and hold it for 10 years, then you renovate it before selling it, you might fall into the category of thinking that because you've owned it for 10 years, you don't have to pay tax. But if you're still a builder and you're still actively working, the 10-year clock starts, or resets, I should say, when you renovate that property. So you would be subject to tax.
Isn't that amazing? Now,
but then I wonder if they would take it from the value of the property before you did the renovations.
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask a property accountant.
You would. Call Opus Accounting.
So you've worked with a lot of builders over your time, right? People wanting to do a long-term buy and hold strategy. So what I'm thinking about is, what if I'm a builder and I'm working for someone else's company? Am I tainted just because I make my money from going in and putting up houses, or do you have to own the building company?
No. So if you make your money from buying and selling houses or building houses or trading houses, you are tainted. Your employees, so if I go and work for Mike Greer Homes, I'm not tainted because I'm a builder.
Yeah. So Mike Greer would be tainted, just to use him as an example. Anybody working at Mike Greer may not be tainted if they're not flipping properties on the side. And what about all of the builders that you've worked with over your time? Were all of those people tainted?
Yeah, so I think probably most of them would be. I can't think of any exceptions to that rule. And I think about the builders that I've worked with, what we're normally doing for them, the work that we do at Opus Partners, is we're fixing their long-term wealth creation. So they're buying properties that they're going to hold for the next 20 years. They're going to carry on making their day money from being a trader or being a builder, whatever it is that they do. The properties that they buy and invest through us, they're the long-term holds, so they're not so concerned about it. And look, also the worst case scenarios, you just pay your tax if you have to. Like I said to one of my investors the other day, if you end up getting subject to the intention tax on that, pay your tax and then just move on. You still get to keep two-thirds of the money.
Ed, the last question, well, it's not always two-thirds because their top tax rate's 39%, but...
It was an example, Ed.
Well, financial advisor would be accurate. Now, other thing I want to know is, am I tainted forever? So if I develop properties or I build some properties and I do it for a year, does that follow me around like a bad smell for the next 50 years of my life?
The short answer there is no. So if you become a long-term landlord later on, which is very common... Once you've sold the last of your flips or properties that you're trading, then you can start again as a standard landlord, and the two-year bright line test now applies, and the normal bright line test applies.
But that would only be for any new properties that you purchased after you'd stopped doing your flips.
Correct. Now, the standard practice is set up a separate company or a trust structure for the flip properties or the developments that you're doing. And then at the end, best practice is to wind that company up and show that there is a clear end to those type of transactions and hold your properties in something that maybe says Property Holdings Limited or something like that. And one of my clients, I remember, got caught up in this and had to defend their case to the IRD. Their LAQC back in those days was called something, something Developments Limited, even though they weren't doing developments.
So they might have been buying... Let's call it new build properties, for example. And they were buying new build, so they thought we'll call it developments. But what the IRD said, oh, well, these are clearly trades.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Did he win the case against the IRD?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
They were held long term.
Yeah, but it'd be a bloody hassle.
It was a real hassle.
No, you wouldn't want that. So lots to think about. Main point of this podcast is just to bring up that now that we've got the bright line changing, tainting's going to become a thing again. And you're just going to have to be aware of that if you are developing properties, if you're flipping properties, or if you are building properties. And talk to your accountant, and you might like to try out Opus Accounting, because people can also get caught out by their family relationship with a speculator or a dealer. And, you know, the bright line may apply, and you might find that you've still got a 10-year test, even though for most people, the bright line's going back to 2 years. Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And if you want to learn more about all of the different tax rules, come along to my upcoming webinar. It's on Tuesday, the 16th of April, 7 p.m. Links down in the show notes, so tap or swipe over the cover art, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, taxes, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.